All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melon heads of the world. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Today is September 3rd, 2025. And the top story this morning is Google, or should I say Alphabet? I hate that rebrand. But Google parent Alphabet is rallying big this morning on a win in a big antitrust case. I use the term win lightly because it wasn't a pure win, but all the important boxes were checked for Google, and that stock is on a tear this morning. So what was going on? It was this big antitrust case. The government was trying to force Alphabet or Google to divest their ownership in a couple of different business models. First, their Chrome browser. The government wanted them to force them to sell that. And they also wanted to force them to sell their Android operating system, claiming when you combine those businesses with Google's many other businesses, that it was creating a monopoly, that it was hurting consumers, it was anti-competitive. And well, the court ruled that Google can keep those businesses. So that was the big one right there. The larger company is remaining intact. The court also ruled that Google can continue to pay Apple for the privilege of being the specific, the default search feature in Safari. For any iPhone user, when you type in the search bar in Safari, you're automatically making a Google search. Google has paid Apple rather handsomely for that privilege over the years. And so since the court ruled that can continue, you've actually got Apple is ripping this morning several percent as well on this news. So look, between these two companies, Google and Apple, you've got about $6 trillion in market cap there. Those stocks are both up a couple of percent this morning. That is going to drag the S&P and the NASDAQ higher along with it. Now, it wasn't a total win for Google. The court did rule that Google's going to have to share certain user data with its competitors. And somehow it's like no matter what happens when the government fights big tech, we lose because somehow our privacy is even more violated as a result of that. But at least for the shareholders this morning, this one is a big win for those Google and Apple shareholders. We've also got gold is continuing to rip here. That front month gold contract broke above $3,600, yet another all-time high for my favorite of the shiny. Look, we don't need to revisit all the reasons. We can touch on them real quick. The bond market is pissed. We've got long-term interest rates have been rising for, well, 2-3 years now because the world is worried that inflation is going to come back, mostly because governments can't get their act together. That's nothing new, although the pandemonium in the bond market is somewhat subsided this morning. We're seeing a little bit of a break. You know, those long-term yields in Europe aren't rising out of control this morning as they've been for the last couple of weeks. But gold is still moving here. In particular, it is the COMEX price. I got to send a shout out to my friend Bob Coleman from Profits Plus ID, by the way. Bob took a minute to talk to me on X yesterday about what was going on. We're seeing the New York price, the COMEX price, is rising faster here. We're seeing those exchange for physical premiums. The difference between the New York and the London price continues to widen. And what's going on here, guys, is we've got a short squeeze is going on. A lot of gold dealers and producers have to hedge their exposure to the commodities, so they routinely short gold on the COMEX in order to maintain neutral exposure. Well, right now, the COMEX price is rising, forcing a short squeeze. They're being forced to cover their shorts here, and that is driving that New York price higher, but it's not touching the spot price over in the LBMA in London. And so we're seeing these premiums blow out a little bit here. That's why we're seeing the front month contract is moving more than the spot price. Basically, a short squeeze going on in the futures. Now, also very important, we have had gold just broke out from a four-month consolidation pattern, which means pending a successful back test, we could be looking at a nice move in gold even from these high levels. And hey, silver is along for the ride as well. We got that front-month silver contract trading around 41.70 this morning. We've got spot silver is threatening to break out above $41. Have I ever told you guys that I like the shiny? Did I ever mention that? Maybe I mentioned that once or twice, but I digress. Metals just continuing to rip here. We got some AI stories this morning. Anthropic is raising $13 billion at a $183 billion valuation. So more money for the cash furnace that is Anthropic. But that $183 billion valuation, that's going to turn some heads, because that is nearly triple the valuation from just March of this year. Hey, that was 5 months ago. Valuations tripling in 5 months. Wow, this company must be making money hand over fist. They must be a profit engine, right? Well, no, actually, Anthropic lost $5.6 billion last year on $1 billion of revenue. Some nice margins you got there. And their valuation just tripled. Okay, guys, one day the AI bubble is going to pop, but it ain't today. That's for sure. Not with a $183 billion valuation. That's more investor cash that Anthropic can use to continue paying hyperscalers to support their cash-burning operations, which means the hyperscalers can continue buying NVIDIA GPUs for, I don't know, a couple of months more at least. At the current rate of cash burn, Anthropic will survive for like another year with that $13 billion in cash. We've also got some more movement on the export controls front. The United States has revoked validated end user status for Taiwan Semiconductor. Basically says Taiwan Semi cannot sell U.S. chip technology to Chinese manufacturers anymore, which is going to be hard for Taiwan Semiconductor because the Chinese make a lot of their chips. Also, SK Hynix and Samsung are along for the ride there. They also cannot sell any U.S. chip fab technology to the Chinese as the Trump administration continues to put the screws to the Chinese AI industry, or at least they're trying to. We got some interesting retail earnings this morning. Macy's stock is up big on lousy earnings, and Dollar Tree stock is selling off on fantastic earnings. What the heck is going on there? We'll take a look at those charts and try to explain that one. The U.S. Navy sank a Venezuelan drug boat yesterday. Oh, okay. So we've got missiles flying in the Western Hemisphere now, right in our neighborhood, in our own backyard. Look, supposedly this is all about narcos and drug interdictions and fighting the cartels. I'll tell you what it's really about. You could probably guess. And last but not least, CMBS delinquencies in office buildings has just hit an all-time high, 11.7%, significantly higher than even the worst of the global financial crisis. And yet nobody seems to be losing any money. I'm sure that's all just fine, right? Nobody's gone belly up, even though office delinquencies are higher than they have ever been, well into double digits. Oh, by the way, multifamily, residential, those delinquencies are also skyrocketing. And yet nobody seems to be losing any money. Maybe that's because we're the ones losing all the money and they just haven't told us yet, because they've been parking all this toxic crap in our 401ks, much like they've been trying to do with private equity holdings. Oh, I'm sure this is just going to work out wonderfully for the average person. Guys, we got a lot to talk about this morning. Why don't we shrink my big melon of a head and let's see what's going on in the world of finance today. And as always, if you wouldn't mind, hit that like button for the YouTube algorithm. And you new guys, the subscribe button right next to it so you can come back tomorrow and have your coffee with the melon heads and get that age-old question answered. What color will Jack's coffee mug be tomorrow? It's important stuff here. All right, right now the S&P 500 is higher by 23 points, or about 0.36%. Google and Apple playing a big role in that story. Meanwhile, the Dow, which does not touch big tech, that one is down 92 points, or 0.2% in the red. And the NASDAQ, of course, the beneficiary of those big tech numbers, up 171 points here, about 0.75%, leading the way higher this morning ahead of the open. We've got the U.S. dollar is modestly stronger here, and I do mean modest, only 2 basis points to the upside, 98.34. Again, the panic in the bond market seems to be somewhat subsided this morning. Looking over at U.S. bonds here, not a lot of movement at all. The 30-year yield is at 4.962. That's technically down about 1 point. Notice one thing, though, the high this morning, we very briefly touched 5% on the 30-year yield. So, guys, those bonds continue to sell off a little bit here. Yields continuing to grind higher. Right now they're down a little bit, but we did hit a new high this morning. The fiscal situation in governments around the world is unchanged from yesterday. Big shocker there. The 10-year yield, meanwhile, 4.275. That's down by a fraction of a point as well. The 2 years at 3.656, also off a fraction of a point. And the 1 month is down 1 point at 4.299. Now, looking over at commodities, we've got a couple of different stories this morning. First, let's start with gold. This is the big one here. $3,620 for that December front month gold contract. Look at that thing ripping, another all-time high, up $28, almost $29 or 0.8% higher. Meanwhile, spot gold, that XAU USD, that is at $35.55, also higher by $22 this morning or 0.6%. But you will notice the gap between the two, it is getting bigger once again. And that's what Bob Coleman described to me yesterday. We're seeing a short squeeze on the COMEX leading to higher prices in New York. It is dragging the London prices a little higher as it happens, just not as much. Again, you got two totally different markets there. They exert forces on one another, but they don't absolutely control each other. Let's take a look at one thing real quick in gold. And first of all, take a look at this. This is what's known as an ascending triangle pattern. This is from Centerpoint Securities, puts this one out. Just kind of an example of chart patterns you want to look out for. When you've got a flat line of resistance and then a series of higher lows creating a rising lower trend line support. And when you eventually break out of that pattern, out of that continuation or consolidation pattern, you tend to get a nice price rip pending a successful back test. And the reason why I'm showing you this pattern is take a good mental snapshot of this and then look at what gold has done for the last 4 months. And now you kind of get where I'm coming from here. Look, you got your flat line of resistance right here around 3440. You've had a series of higher lows. And just recently, we broke out from this pattern. So what do I want to see? I want to see a back test back down to 3,400, a bounce off that line, and then we rip higher here. Gold looks fantastic from a technical perspective here. Silver also is doing good this morning. We've got spot silver is at $40.96. We are just shy of 41. We very briefly were above $41 for spot silver. We hit a high of 41.09 overnight. Right now, up about a dime or a quarter of a percent. Also, that front month silver contract is moving more than the spot price. Again, that short squeeze phenomenon is still happening. 41.75 for the December silver futures. That's up by 15 cents or about 0.36%. I like the shiny. We've got copper's lower by a half a percent. Platinum is up by 1.3%. Palladium is higher by almost 2.5%. And oil's down pretty big here, 64.29 for October WTI futures. That's off by about $1.25 or 1.9% lower this morning. So what's going on with oil? We've got news from OPEC Plus here in Reuters. OPEC Plus to consider further oil output hike on Sunday, sources say, and sources don't have names because it's the 2020s and nobody names their sources anymore. But OPEC Plus will consider further raising oil production at a meeting on Sunday, two sources familiar with the discussion said, as the group seeks to regain market share. That's important here, regain market share. Put a pin in that. OPEC has reversed its strategy of output cuts from April and has already raised quotas by about 2.5 million barrels per day. That's about 2.4% of world demand to boost market share and under pressure from U.S. President Donald Trump to lower oil prices. But those increases have failed to bring down oil prices, which trade near $70 a barrel, supported by Western sanctions on Russia and Iran, encouraging further production gains in rivals such as the United States. Another output boost would mean OPEC Plus, which pumps about half of the world's oil, would be starting to unwind a second layer of cuts of about 1.65 million barrels per day, or 1.6% of world demand, more than a year ahead of schedule. And they keep mentioning that market share gains here. They're mentioning production gains in rivals such as the United States, talking about further production gains. OPEC is sick of the U.S. getting market share. And look, the U.S. is one of the biggest oil producers in the world now. And when you're a cartel controlling the price of something, it's hard to do that when the biggest player on the block won't play ball. And so OPEC is, it looks like, taking another step towards declaring war on U.S. oil production by flooding the market with supply to try to stop American shale producers from gaining market share. And with oil prices here in the mid-60s, it looks like they could be set to add even more supply, sending those prices even lower. Meanwhile, we got Bitcoin is having a good morning here at $111,468. That's up a little bit from yesterday. Not quite celebrating this move in Bitcoin here. I want to see us recapture that 50-day moving average, which is still around 115,000 and change here. But Bitcoin threatening to break out from this consolidation pattern that we've been in for a couple of weeks hasn't quite happened yet. We've still got a lot of whale selling. And as always, guys, crypto winter is just around the corner. Be careful, especially you folks who are out on leverage. Now, here's the big one for the day. Google dodges Chrome sale as antitrust case. Let's start that over. Google dodges Chrome sale in antitrust case, but must share their data. And it's not their data. It is our data. And it's nice of that antitrust court to just further make our lives more intruded upon by the big tech giants that listen to every word we say because they have microphones all around us. But I digress. Google avoided a breakup after a U.S. judge ruled against the government's most onerous proposals, including a forced sale of its Chrome browser, another court victory for big tech in the biggest antitrust case in three decades, and the shares jumped. AI models represent a long-term threat to the search industry as chatbots and other generative AI technologies become more advanced and behave more like search engines, Judge Amit Mehta said on Tuesday. Still, the Alphabet company will have to make some concessions, including sharing online search data with rivals and ending exclusive contracts for distribution. I guess there's a little bit of irony here in that the name of the judge in this Google case was Meta, but I digress. The emergence of Gen AI changed the course of this case, Meta wrote in the judgment. The ruling represents a setback for the U.S. government in its bid to curb the power of the biggest U.S. tech companies, falling far short of the most severe remedies sought by antitrust enforcers. The finding follows the Washington-based judge's ruling last year that Google illegally monopolized the markets for online search and search advertising. Meta held a three-week hearing in April to determine a fix. While it's barred from exclusivity deals, Google will still be allowed to pay its partners. That's a key win for Apple, which has received roughly $20 billion a year for making Google search the default on iPhones. Cutting off payments from Google almost certainly will impose substantial, in some cases crippling, downstream harms to distribution partners, related markets, and consumers, which counsels against a broad payment ban, the judge wrote. Shares of Apple surged about 6% in pre-market trading following the release of the judge's ruling, and Apple shares climbed more than 3%. And, well, they're up even more than that now. Let's refresh, get an accurate mark here. Google shares currently up almost 7%, 6.9% higher. $226.60 for Google shares. That is once again an all-time high. And Apple is up 3.6% ahead of the open, $238 for Apple. I don't think that is an all-time high. No, it is not. But still, guys, we got a lot of fresh market cap in the NASDAQ this morning, almost $6.5 trillion between the two companies there. Meanwhile, Anthropic raises $13 billion in a funding round at a $183 billion valuation. Welcome to the AI bubble where there are no profits and the valuations mean nothing. I'm your host, Drew Carey, apparently. Anthropic on Tuesday announced it has closed a $13 billion funding round at a $183 billion post-money valuation, roughly triple what the AI startup was worth as of its last raise in March. Okay, it tripled in 5 months. I'm sure that's not at all a bubble blow off top kind of thing. Let's move on. The most recent funding round was led by Iconic Fidelity Management and Research Company and Lightspeed Venture Partners. Other investors, including Altimeter, General Catalyst, and Kochu, also participated, Anthropic said. This financing demonstrates investors' extraordinary confidence in our financial performance and the strength of their collaboration with us to continue fueling our unprecedented growth, said Anthropic Finance Chief Krishna Rao in a statement. As of August, Anthropic said its run rate revenue had reached more than $5 billion, up from roughly $1 billion at the beginning of the year. Anthropic serves more than 300,000 business customers, the company said. That $1 billion at the beginning of the year, that was their 2024 revenue. And they lost $5.6 billion on that $1 billion in revenue. Somebody want to tell me what their profit margins are if you lose $5.6 billion on $1 billion in revenue? I don't know. Negative, really big is what those profit margins are. But for now, they are tripling their valuation. bubble ain't bursting today, guys. Meanwhile, the U.S. makes it harder for Taiwan Semi and SK Hynix and Samsung to produce chips in China. This one broke late yesterday. The U.S. has revoked a waiver that allowed Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing to export key chip-making equipment and technology to its manufacturing plant in Nanjing, China, as Washington continues to ramp up efforts to limit Beijing's semiconductor advancement. The change will remove a fast-track export privilege known as Validated End User, or VEU, status effective December 31st, Taiwan Semiconductor confirmed to CNBC on Wednesday. All right, so effective December 31st, that means they've got 3 months to sell anything they want to the Chinese, because that makes sense. The world's largest contract chip maker had received the exemption soon after the Commerce Department launched its initial restrictions on the sale of U.S. origin chip making tools in 2022. Under the new policy, shipments of chip making tools with American origins to Taiwan Semiconductor's manufacturing facilities in Nanjing will require U.S. export licenses. At the same time, the Department of Commerce Bureau of Industry and Security said in a statement that it was closing the VEU Biden-era loophole for all foreign semiconductor manufacturers. It added that it intends to grant export license applications to allow former VEU participants to operate their existing manufacturing facilities in China, but not to expand capacity or upgrade technology in China. So they can keep selling them the old stuff, but it's going to be harder to maintain the new stuff. Meanwhile, we got some retail earnings this morning. A couple of head scratchers here. First of all, Macy's shares pop 10% as retailer tops earnings estimates and raises outlook. So is the worst behind us for Macy's? Is this now a growing company again? No, not by a long shot. Macy's posted second quarter earnings Wednesday that easily topped Wall Street expectations. As it said, revamped stores helped sales trends. The department store operator also raised its full year earnings and sales guidance. It now expects adjusted earnings of between $1.70 and $2.05 a share. That's compared with $1.60 to $2 per share. The stock was up 10% before the bell. Macy's had slashed its full year guidance last quarter and reported uncertainty in sales due to President Trump's tariffs. So they beat that cut guidance here. Here's a couple of other interesting things. In the three-month period that ended August 2nd, the company's net income was $87 million or 31 cents a share, compared with $150 million or 53 cents a share in the year prior period. So, you know, look, their net income down more than 40% year over year. And the headline is stock pops on beating expectations. It goes to show you how low the expectations were for this company. Net sales dropped from $4.94 billion a year ago down to $4.81 billion. So you're seeing the comps are coming down too. But the thing with Macy's is the expectations were so low. Take a look at the year-to-date performance in this stock. It was down 20.3% year to date. And so, yeah, they beat those lowered expectations. Now the stock is ripping pre-market up 15%. But still, you have got a business that is just slowly bleeding to death here. Macy's is essentially a real estate investment trust at this point. You have a money-losing department store that is attached to some real estate that is rapidly going down in value. What is the value of the corpse of this company versus what is it currently trading at? That's like been the big question about Macy's for like the last 10 years. Meanwhile, we had Dollar Tree reported earnings that were actually pretty fantastic, but the stock is heading the other way. Dollar Tree stock slides as downbeat outlook overshadows a big earnings beat. Looks like it was that outlook that is causing the problems here. Shares of Dollar Tree dropped in early Wednesday trading after the off-price retailer provided a downbeat outlook for the current quarter, despite reporting a big profit beat for the fiscal second quarter and raising its full-year outlook. Results came about a week after rival Dollar General beat quarterly profit and sales expectations and raised its full-year earnings guidance, but said that its customers may face tougher times ahead. For the August quarter, Dollar Tree said net income rose 42.3%. Hey, I found where all those Macy's sales went. Apparently, they're all shopping at Dollar Tree now. It's almost the exact same number. From the same period a year ago to $188.4 million, adjusted earnings per share, which excludes non-recurring items of 77 cents, beat the average analyst estimate compiled by FactSet of 42 cents. All right, so those one-time items really contributed to that big earnings beat. The margin of the bottom line beat was the widest in at least 5 years based on available data. For the current third quarter, adjusted EPS is expected to be similar to that of a year ago, while the current FactSet EPS of $1.33 implies 18.8% growth. I think that's the problem there. That current quarter guidance disappointed some folks. But look at some of these numbers here. Comparable store sales, or sales of stores open at least 15 months, were up 6.5% to beat the consensus of 5.4% rise, as traffic increased 3% and the value of the average ticket rose 3.4%. Dollar Tree is gaining market share here, guys. I mean, we have seen retailer after retailer posting disappointing same-store sales or disappointing comps pretty much this entire earnings season. And here's Dollar Tree just absolutely clobbering the competition. More traffic coming in. The people who are coming in are spending more money. They raised their guidance. I mean, this was just a really fantastic quarter for Dollar Tree, but this is like the opposite of what happened with Macy's. This stock is the victim of its own success. The stock is up 48.5% year to date. So even though these numbers from Dollar Tree were really quite fantastic, it doesn't matter. The stock just rose too much. People are selling on that news. Shares down about 3.4% ahead of the opening bell. Look, Dollar Tree, this is a referendum on the health of the American consumer here, guys. You know, we saw a few weeks ago, we talked about how rich people were shopping at Walmart because they're being forced to trade down. Well, some people have even been priced out of Walmart and they're being forced to do their shopping at Dollar Tree, who is gaining even more market share here. Again, U.S. consumers are not doing well. They're up to their eyeballs in debt. Their credit cards are maxed out. They're in BNPL debt. Their cars are getting repoed. They're shopping at Walmart and Dollar Tree. Meanwhile, we got some big geopolitical news yesterday. U.S. military strikes drug vessel from Venezuela, killing 11. Trump discloses the attack on a small boat after the Pentagon deployed warships to the Caribbean to halt the flow of cocaine. Oh, my God, this is right in our back door. What is going on here? There is the video of the boat being blown up. The U.S. military carried out a strike against a drug-carrying boat from Venezuela, President Trump said Tuesday, escalating tensions with the country's authoritarian government just days after the Pentagon deployed warships to the Caribbean to stop the flow of cocaine. There's more where that came from, Trump said in a news conference at the White House, promising further actions. Trump later posted on social media that he had ordered a strike on positively identified narco-terrorists from the cartel Tren de Agua, operating a small boat carrying drugs to the U.S. The strike resulted in the death of 11 terrorists, Trump wrote in the Truth Social Post, showing a declassified video of the boat being struck and exploding. Please let this serve as notice to anybody even thinking about bringing drugs into the United States of America. Beware. And of course, thank you for your attention to this matter, Trump wrote. All right, so what's really going on here? First of all, I don't doubt that this boat was carrying drugs. There was like four outboard motors on this boat, on this what's supposedly like a poor fisherman's boat. Poor fishermen can't afford four outboard motors that combine probably way more than the displacement of the whole freaking boat. But that being said, are we suddenly so interested in stopping cocaine from Venezuela? Or do you think it maybe has something to do with this map? And what we're looking at here on this map, this is the top of South America. There's Venezuela. And right next to it is Guyana. And in particular, you've got this shaded region of Guyana, the Guyana Essequibo region. And the reason why that is shaded right now is because of this outlined area here in blue. That is an oil field that is home to the largest oil discovery of the last 10 years. Roughly 8 billion barrels of oil were discovered off the coast of Guyana. And then all of a sudden, Venezuela says, hey, you know what? That's ours. Apparently, Venezuela has claimed this Essequibo region for years. Maybe they do. Maybe it's this old back and forth that goes back decades. But they found oil there. All of a sudden, it's front page news. And now the missiles are flying. Isn't that amazing? How you find oil somewhere, and within a matter of months, the missiles are flying. So look, are they trying to stop the narco terrorists from Venezuela? Sure. And this is great. You know, I'm all about stopping the flow of narcotics, and the South American cartels and the Mexican cartels. They are bloodthirsty barbarians. Abso-freaking-lutely. But they've always been there. What changed? They found oil. That's what's going on. Venezuela has been threatening to take these oil fields by force, and then magically U.S. warships appear in the area. Also going on this morning, check this one out in Wolf Street. Office CMBS delinquency rate spikes to a record 11.7%, much worse than financial crisis peak, and multifamily delinquencies also spike. That's right. We got this commercial real estate bubble going on top of the private equity bubble and the private credit bubble and the AI bubble. And well, let's say another crypto bubble while we're at it. Who's counting bubbles here? I got to take my shoes off. I'm sorry. Extend and pretend and forbearance deals widely implement to cure delinquent CRE mortgages. And you notice they got the air quotes on cure, because when you cure delinquent mortgages, you don't fix anything. You just delay the pain. You just move the losses somewhere else. The office and multifamily sectors of commercial real estate loans got further bludgeoned in August, despite large-scale extend and pretend forbearance deals executed in the hopes for better times and the lowest interest rates and more demand so that lenders don't end up with the property and a huge loss. The delinquency rate of office mortgages that have been securitized into commercial mortgage-backed securities spiked to 11.7% in August, the worst ever, a full percentage point above even the peak meltdown rate of the financial crisis, which was 10.7%. That's according to data by TREP, which tracks and analyzes CMBS. Back in December of 2022, just about 3 years ago, the office CMBS delinquency rate was just 1.6%. So it has increased by about tenfold. Look at this chart here, guys. Here is the high, which was hit in like 2012, 2013, following the global financial crisis. And here's where we are now. And still nobody has gone poof. Nobody has blown up over this. How is that possible? Well, it's possible because of extend and pretend, and it's also possible because of bury it in people's pensions and 401ks. It's the older office towers that get in trouble. High vacancy rates and new fancy office towers allow companies to move from an old tower to a new tower, thereby upgrading and downsizing at the same time. This flight to quality is increasing the pressure on older towers. The delinquency rate for multifamily CMBS, i.e. apartments, also backed by the rental apartment property mortgages, that jumped to 6.9%. That's the worst since December of 2015, just before the defaulted $3 billion loan on Stuyvesant Town Peter Cooper Village in Manhattan was cured, air quotes, through the sale of a property to Blackstone. 2 years ago, the multifamily CMBS delinquency rate was still 1.8%. And you can see here, multifamily delinquencies, they are going vertical as well. Guys, the CMBS market is in meltdown, and everybody's just pretending like it's not happening. We're seeing the extend and pretend, the cures, whatever you want to call it. It's financial engineering meant to hide losses where people can't see it. We're seeing the same thing in private equity and private credit. They're calling them continuation vehicles. There is a lot of losses out there. They're hiding somewhere, and my gut tells me they're probably hiding in our pensions and our 401ks. And also real quick, guys, we're starting to see some bad data showing up in the mortgage market here. We got the 30-year mortgage rate and for the week ending August 29th. It dropped about 5 basis points to 6.64%, down from 6.69. Not a very big move, but a move lower in the mortgage rates typically sees a spike in mortgage applications. People try to take advantage of those lower interest rates, but we didn't get that. Applications for the volume of mortgage applications in the U.S. fell by more than 1.2% from the previous week for the period ending August 2nd. That's August 29th. Interest rates went down and mortgage applications went down with it. That's not supposed to happen. They're supposed to move in different directions. They're supposed to be inversely correlated. Applications for a mortgage to buy a new home fell by 1.2%, aligned with weakening consumer sentiment to halt 4 consecutive weeks of gains. In the meantime, applications for a contract to refinance a mortgage, which are more sensitive to short-term changes in interest rates, those did inch higher by about 0.9%. But you can see here, 3 consecutive weeks of negative mortgage applications despite lower rates. Guys, people can't afford homes. They can't afford the payments. We need lower home prices. We don't need more financing. We don't need down payment assistance. We don't need home builder buy downs. We don't need government emergency declarations. We need the prices to go lower. It will happen if we just let it happen. But, you know, we can't let home equity decline whatsoever, because then the wealth effect and consumption goes down with it. And I just want to say thank you very much to my buddy, Nashville Pasta Man. What's going on, Pasta Man? He says, what's the PE on a $5 billion loss on $1 billion in revenue? That's $5.6 billion there, Pasta Man. Let's be a little exact here. Let's see. So that would be a, let's see, the price would be, what was it, $183 billion. And the earnings was negative 5.6. So that is a PE, let's see, 183 over negative 5.6. Come on, guys. That is a, it won't do it. Okay, that is a PE of negative 32.7. Sorry, it took me a while to do the math there. A lot of button pushing. Why don't we just say NA, not applicable. All right, the error, can't divide by zero, whatever you want to say, because the whole PE requires an E, and Anthropic ain't got no E because they lose money, something the people giving them $183 billion valuations are very conveniently overlooking. At some point, Anthropic's going to make a profit, or so I'm told. That seems to be the plan, although they have no strategy to ever meet it. Oh, don't worry, Claude 6.0 or Claude 7.0. It's going to be the smartest Claude yet. Claude's going to be really smart. He still can't count to three, but he's going to be really, really smart. Phase three profit. Look, I don't get it, guys. And this is just more capital destruction. You know, what was it? What did they raise? How many billion? $13 billion at $183 billion. That's another $13 billion in capital that's just going to go up in smoke. We're seeing capital destroyed at CoreWeave. It's being destroyed at OpenAI. It's being destroyed at Anthropic. It's being destroyed with all this runaway CapEx at big tech. They are going to write down all of these investments to next to nothing in the next few years. Get ready, guys, because we are about to see the earnings in the NASDAQ absolutely implode over the next few years when all of these investments turn into negative earnings when they write down the valuations of them. But for now, the bubble inflates further and stocks go up. So today ain't the day the bubble pops. Thank you very much, Pasta Man, for supporting the channel. Sorry about the error in the math there, but yeah, PE can't divide by zero. M&J, what's going on? AJ says, can't wait for my new t-shirt and tinfoil hat. That is a subtle nudge from M&J that she wants the merch thing fixed. All right, yeah, my tinfoil hat. I guess I should have put this on when I was talking about the Venezuela story, right? Was that tinfoil hat worthy? I mean, yeah, are we really trying to stop the flow of cocaine into the United States? Yeah, after 55 years, maybe now we're finally going to stop the flow of the magic white energy powder into the United States. I got a really good feeling about this last missile we fired. Or maybe it's about oil. Just maybe. I don't know. The merch is coming, M&J. It is on my list. Thank you very much for the super chat and for supporting the channel. And while we're here, shout out to all my other mods for everything you guys do to keep things neat and tidy in the chat. Thank you guys so much. And thank you, everybody, for having your coffee with the Melon Heads this morning. I appreciate that. Don't forget the like button and that subscribe button on the way out for the YouTube algorithm. Also, shout out to my magnanimous Melon Heads on Patreon and YouTube. Thank you guys for supporting the channel as well. Links down below. Should you feel so inclined? Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Love you guys. Everybody, till next time, live small and dream big.